Welcome to the GMAT Strategy Podcast. You're here because you believe there's a better way to study for the GMAT, and so do I. I created the GMAT strategy to maximize your results and minimize your efforts so you can get to the fun parts about business school and life as quickly as possible. My name is Isaac Puglia, and I've been teaching GMAT classes and tutoring privately for the GMAT for over 6 years, and I personally have achieved a 99th percentile score on an official GMAT exam and helped hundreds of students get into the business schools of their choice. I'm excited to be a part of your MBA journey since I think the world can benefit from the best possible business leaders that we can find. And if this show is bringing you value, please share it with your friends and family who are studying for the GMAT so that together we can make this process as easy and painless for as many people as we possibly can. Let's go. Today, I'd like to give you some advice about the executive assessment. The executive assessment is essentially a shorter version of the GMAT that will help you apply to certain types of MBA programs, but it's not, as of today, accepted at all MBA programs, and that's an important distinction. Now, right now, when we're in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic, you cannot currently take the executive assessment, just like you can't currently take the GMAT in many markets. The digital version of the GMAT is supposed to be coming mid-April, and they've said online that digital registrations for at-home versions of the executive assessment should be coming at the end of April. So it's going to be a little bit longer before you can register for an executive assessment at home. Now, the good news is I have read that the executive assessment will be offered on both Macintosh-based, Apple-based operating systems and Windows-based operating systems. So hopefully what I said in last week's episode will not be true of the digital GMAT, and you will be able to take the digital GMAT at home on, the at-home GMAT, all GMATs are digital. The at-home GMAT, hopefully you'll be able to take that on a Windows-based machine and a Macintosh-based machine. We still don't know for sure yet, but that does bode well since it's likely the executive assessment will be operated on both platforms. Now, it may be a month until you can register for the executive assessment, but that would be a great time to start studying if you haven't yet started. And if you are studying, then you probably want to continue your studies. And so hopefully today's episode will be very valuable for you. What types of programs accept the executive assessment? It's good for executive MBA programs. It's good for master's in finance programs, master's in accounting, master's in data analytics, and healthcare MBAs. Now, interestingly, some full-time and part-time MBA programs are accepting the executive assessment in lieu of the GMAT. And the punchline here is, if your program that you want to apply to accepts the executive assessment and accepts the GMAT, then you want to take the executive assessment because it's much shorter, it's easier to prepare for, and it's a little bit easier to take. And I'll get into the intricacies of that in a moment. But the main takeaway here is you should check in with your target program because if they accept the executive assessment, you should do that. In terms of the format of the executive assessment, you're going to start with an integrated reasoning section. And unlike the GMAT, you can't decide the order in which you want to take the exam. Now, you're going to have 30 minutes for 12 questions, and if you want some advice about general integrated reasoning strategy, then listen to my podcast on integrated reasoning. I think it's episode 3 or 4, some of the early episodes. After that, you'll have a 30-minute verbal section, which is 14 questions, and those 14 questions are the same three types as the regular GMAT. You'll have reading comprehension, sentence correction, and critical reasoning, and if you're not familiar with those, then go back and listen to my respective podcasts on those question types. Then you'll have a 30-minute quant section, which will also have 14 questions, and that's a combination, just like the real GMAT, of problem-solving and data sufficiency questions, and if you want more advice on those, I also have a podcast on those as well. The math and verbal content is essentially identical, except that there is much less geometry on the quantitative portion of the executive assessment. However, there can be some questions on coordinate plane geometry, so you should be prepared to answer those. Now, here's where the main differences lie other than just raw length, like I just talked to you about. The executive assessment is much shorter. But one of the important differences in the executive assessment is The test does not adapt to your ability on a question-by-question basis like it does on the GMAT. On the GMAT, if you answer a question, you cannot go back and change your answer to that question. You're committing to that answer forever in the moment. But on the executive assessment, each section is given into what they call panels, which is basically halves. So one section of seven questions and another section of seven questions. And your performance on the first seven questions will dictate the difficulty level of the next seven questions, the back half of the section, unless it's IR, in which case the first panel is six questions and the second panel is six questions for a total of 12. Now, within each panel, you can move around the questions freely. So you can skip questions that then you can come back to later. And again, that's very different than the GMAT. So your strategy should be a little bit different when it comes to taking those actual sections. What you want is a simple two passes through each panel, and you're going to look at all six or seven questions, and you're going to try to find the easiest, most gettable ones for you and invest as much time as you need to get those right. And then with any remaining time, you want to try to get as many of the harder questions as you can, and then you always want to guess because there is no guessing penalty. So always mark an answer, never leave anything blank, even if you don't end up having time to dive deep on each individual question within each panel. At the end of the test, you'll get four different scores. One score for each section is out of 20, and then your total score is going to be the sum of those four scores plus 120. Now, the interesting thing about this, scoring-wise, is that most schools don't really care about getting an ultra-high score on the executive assessment. It's really just a readiness exam, and what that means is they just want to see you pass a certain threshold, which is another reason that the executive assessment is preferable to the GMAT. So the GMAT is very much the type of test where you're trying to outscore a lot of your competition. On the executive assessment, that's less important. As long as you meet the school's minimum threshold or exceed it, then they're basically going to be happy to look at the rest of your application, and it's not like you're not duking it out with other applicants to see who got the highest executive assessment score, which is kind of nice. I think that makes it a lot less stressful. Now, it is more expensive to take the executive assessment than the regular GMAT. It costs $350 as of now. The online GMAT, the at-home GMAT is going to be less expensive than the regular one, but I haven't seen any price announcements on that, so it's possible that the at-home executive assessment will be a little bit less. But for now, you should plan for it to be more expensive than the regular GMAT, but you do get a lot of benefits for that extra cost, such as unlimited score reports at any time, which is not true with the GMAT. For the GMAT, you have to pay for extra score reports after test day. You get free rescheduling up to 48 hours in advance of your test, which is extremely, extremely valuable. And then you can also choose the best scores to send out of whichever performances you take. Now, as far as I know, that's full performances. So you can't take your best IR score and your best math score and your best verbal score and combine that into a super score. But if you take the test twice, then you can choose to only send the higher score if you want to. Now, there's a big limitation with the executive assessment that you don't have quite to the degree on the GMAT, which is you can only take the executive assessment two times ever in your entire life. So it's much more important to make sure that you have a very solid study plan and strong practice exams leading up to your official test, and to make sure that you definitely reschedule if you're not feeling good or if you're not able to rest and recuperate the week leading up to your exam. So if you're having a very stressful week, you want to capitalize on that unlimited reschedule policy, which is really, really generous. With the GMAT, you can take the test, I think, up to eight times in your lifetime now, and I would strongly recommend taking it as few times as you can, but most people are going to be taking the GMAT probably an average of two or three times just because it's such a difficult exam and there are a lot of variables on any given day, and that is very much an outscoring the competition type of exam, and so you want to try to get the best score that you're humanly capable of in the time constraints that you have. Like I said, the executive assessment is a little different. You're just trying to cross a threshold for the school, and then you're happy. Now, if you want some preparation resources for the executive assessment, most of the question resources and practice tests you're going to find at MBA.com. But Manhattan Prep does have an executive assessment class. I haven't personally taken it, and I don't have personal experience with it. But because of the quality standards that Manhattan Prep has, which I am very familiar with since I worked at Manhattan Prep for about 5 years, I would definitely recommend their class on the executive assessment if you want a more structured approach to your learning. Their books are extremely good. I've recommended those in other episodes of the podcast. And most reputable GMAT classes will help you tremendously with the raw material of the executive assessment. Just keep in mind that the timing strategy and the question answering strategy is going to be radically different for the executive assessment than it is for the GMAT. But the content instruction that you'll get from most in-person and digital classes is going to be extremely valuable. Now, the GMAT strategy, my digital class, is not designed to help with the executive assessment. But some of the strategies in that class, if you're really, really struggling with getting your verbal techniques to apply to the questions, like you feel like you know all the verbal content, but you're not getting it to come through in the score, then the review techniques I teach in the GMAT strategy could help you. So feel free to try out that class. And if you're not happy with it, of course, just let me know and I will fix that for you. I will refund your money, no problem, if it's within 30 days. So feel free to try that out if you're having that issue. Now, if you want more advice on the executive assessment, then Stacy Coprince has written some great blog articles on the Manhattan Prep site that are very worth checking out. She was a colleague of mine when I worked at Manhattan Prep, and in fact, I trained with her when I was training to be an instructor there. And I also used a lot of her materials, her written materials, when I was preparing for the GMAT myself back in the day. So she's a very, very trustworthy source. And if you just type into a web search, Manhattan Prep blog, executive assessment, those articles should come up. Of course, if you have other questions, feel free to reach out to me. I'm on Instagram at the GMAT Strategy, and I'm on Reddit /the GMAT Strategy. I'm also on Facebook /the GMAT Strategy, if you prefer. As always, my greatest hope is that this content will make your studies as easy and as painless as they can possibly be. If you'd like more tips and strategies for optimizing your performance specifically on the GMAT, head to thegmatstrategy.com or click the link in the description of this podcast and check out my video presentation on how to achieve your dream score in half the normal time and with half the normal effort. In the meantime, this is a weekly show, so please subscribe and stay positive and stay consistent with your studies. I'll talk to you soon.